Rwanda is one of the smallest countries in Africa. It is also one of the most beautiful. Known as the land of a thousand hills, it has mountains, forests, lakes, and waterfalls, as well as a seemingly endless variety of plant and animal life. Dominating the mountainous region that borders Democratic Republic of the Congo to the west and Uganda to the north are the formidable Virunga Mountains. The footnote reads, commonly called Congo or Congo Kinshasa to distinguish it from neighboring Congo Brazzaville. Throughout this account, we will use the name Congo. End of footnote. Mount Karisimbi, the highest in this range, is a dormant volcano some 14,700 feet high, which is often capped in white because of sleet and hail. Lower down, the slopes of these mountains are covered with thick bamboo growth and rainforest where endangered golden monkeys swing effortlessly among the branches and vines. And it is here, too, in this luxuriant environment, that one of Rwanda's greatest treasures is found, the mountain gorilla. Exotic plants and lush vegetation extend down to the shores of Lake Kivu and to the Nyungwe Forest. In this forest live chimpanzees, black and white colobus monkeys, and over 70 other mammals. There are about 270 species of tree here, along with almost 300 bird species. Butterflies and orchids in rich abundance enhance the beauty of this protected area. From the heart of the Nyungwe Forest, a small stream of water begins to trickle eastward. Gradually, it is joined by other streams and rivers before flowing into Lake Victoria. From there, the water rapidly descends, gaining momentum and strength to continue its long journey northward past Ethiopia, through Sudan, and finally into Egypt, where it empties into the Mediterranean Sea. From its lowly beginnings in the wooded hills of Central Africa, this river, the Nile, covers a distance of nearly 4,240 miles, making it one of the longest rivers on Earth. Troubled times. Sadly, though, the tiny country of Rwanda has experienced appalling violence. Hundreds of thousands of men, women, and children were brutally slaughtered in one of the worst genocides seen in modern times. Shocking scenes of unbridled violence were broadcast earthwide, causing many to be horrified by man's inhumanity to man. How did Jehovah's faithful servants fare during those terrible times and the years that followed? Just as the seemingly insignificant stream of water coming from the Nyungwe Forest overcomes all obstacles, survives the oppressive heat of the African sun, and becomes a mighty river, so Jehovah's people in Rwanda have persevered in their service to God. They have withstood intense persecution and great difficulties and have become a source of strength and encouragement to their brothers and sisters worldwide. The story of Rwanda will touch your heart as you listen to moving accounts of love, faith, and loyalty. It is our hope that this account will encourage you to treasure your relationship with Jehovah even more highly and to cherish the Christian brotherhood more deeply. Early glimmers of light. The first report about the preaching of the good news within Rwanda came in the 1971 yearbook of Jehovah's Witnesses. It stated, in March this year, 1970, it was possible for two special pioneers to enter Rwanda and open up the preaching work in the capital city, Kigali. They have found the people warm and responsive to the kingdom message, and one interested person has already started out in the service. The pioneers have already started 10 studies among the limited number of people who speak Swahili. They are now trying very hard to learn the Kinyarwanda language so that they may give a wider witness. The two special pioneers mentioned in that report were Odin Muisoba and his wife, Enea, from Tanzania. Because they did not yet know the local language Kinyarwanda, they started by visiting Swahili-speaking people, many of whom had come from Congo or Tanzania. By February 1971, there were four publishers reporting, but none of our publications were available in Kinyarwanda, and the language problem slowed growth. Stanley Makumba, an intrepid circuit overseer who was serving in Kenya, visited Rwanda for the first time in 1974. He recalls, there were few buses going from the Uganda-Rwanda border post to Ruhengeri, Rwanda. I had to stand in a truck with no room to move my feet, My wife sat in the front seat with the driver. When we got to our destination, she could hardly recognize me because my face and hair were covered with dust. My back hurt so much as a result of the journey that I had to sit while giving talks for the next week leading up to the small circuit assembly and for the assembly itself. As for visiting the brothers, I could not tell them when I would arrive because we did not know what transportation would be available. Return of a Native. Meanwhile, Gaspar Roakabubu, a native Rwandan, was working as a mechanic in the copper mines in Congo. He relates, "In 1974, I attended the Kingdom Ministry School in Kolwezi. One of the instructors, Michael Pottage, said that the branch office in Kinshasa was looking for a Rwandan elder who would be willing to return to his native country to help with the preaching work. Would I be willing to go? I said that I would talk it over with my wife, Melanie. At that time, my boss in the mining company had just given me an invitation to go to Germany for training. I had done well at work, and my salary was increasing regularly. However, it took us only a few days to decide. I told Brother Pottage that we would accept the invitation to return to Rwanda. My boss could not understand this decision. 'Why can you not be one of Jehovah's Witnesses here?' he asked. 'Why do you have to return to Rwanda?' Even some well-meaning brothers tried to dissuade me. They said, 'You have four children. Read Luke chapter 14, verses 28 to 30. Sit down and think it over.' However, we did not waver. My boss paid all our air travel costs back to Rwanda. When we got to Kigali in May 1975, we rented a house made of mud bricks and with a mud floor, quite different from the well-equipped house we had when I worked for the mining company. Nevertheless, we had prepared ourselves and were determined to succeed. Since the special pioneers from other countries had used Swahili as a language of communication, many people thought that the pioneers had come to teach that language. Such thinking changed when Gaspar and his family arrived, for they were able to teach people kingdom truth using the Kinyarwanda Bible. Additionally, Brother Roakabubu translated the 32-page booklet, This Good News of the Kingdom, into Kinyarwanda. It was published in 1976 and attracted much attention. People read it on buses and in the streets. The use of the name Jehovah led to many discussions.